Hello and welcome back to the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. It's episode 3 of this season, which I was trying to have a little thing before. I couldn't work out how many. It feels like I've been doing it for ages, but yeah, episode 3. We are back with our normal host. We've got me, Sean. We've got Max as well.
How's it going, Sean? You right?
Yeah, not too bad, Max. And we're also joined by one of the original Keeping Up Appearances alumni. We had Tosh last week and we've got Callum this week. Callum, thank you for coming on.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me. Back by popular demand, I heard. It was what the fans wanted, but we'll see.
There'll be a big review after it, don't worry. Right. So quick little check-in then, boys. How have we been this week?
Good. Season started for me with some of the club stuff. So we had a tournament. There's a big holiday weekend here in America. It's Labor Day weekend, so September 1st, we're usually off. So we have a big tournament, and then the college stuff started as well. We drew 0-0, our opening game, terrible game. And then we won 6-1 yesterday. So bounced back pretty quickly. So yeah, it's been a good start to the season.
What age are yours?
The kids have got U14s, and then I've got U17s, but they don't play because they're playing high school soccer in the fall. It's a lot of high school football in the autumn.
Football. That's good, mate. Yeah. Soccer in the fall. Soccer in the fall, I think he means footy in the cold. Yeah.
Footy in the autumn. So they're not allowed to play club football. So they go off for 3 months, come back in November. But we had the younger kids. And then obviously the college stuff is 18 to 22. Sometimes older because they end up like staying back years and things. Different divisions, you can have different age groups. So
all the divvies.
Yeah. All the divvies, yeah.
How about you, Cal? Been up too much?
Yeah, not much. Obviously, watched a bit of the footy at the weekend. A few little runs working this week. Me and Max got a bit of a link with American footy. Actual footy, Jacker. Not stuff that you throw with your hands. Good week, good start to the week. And was looking forward to being back.
Are you back playing footy yet?
No, I haven't played footy for a few weeks now. I could have done tonight, actually, but I picked the podcast over football. How lucky are yous?
Finally, showing some commitment.
only a year too late.
Yeah. Well, you might not have been playing footy, Cal, but we did play something else last week, didn't we?
We did. I was going to mention that, yeah.
Was our paddle debut. Have you played paddle, Max?
No, it's not taken off here, you know.
It's like a European thing.
Yeah, but pickleball's massive, you know.
Tosh hasn't shut up about pickleball.
Tosh loves that, but that's like a wimp
sport. I'd rather play paddle. Paddle looks way better. Pickleball's very... It's definitely an old person's sport because you don't have to move as much. It's quite easy, but paddle looks great.
Paddle is boss. Honestly, it's so good.
Yeah.
Any paddle courts want to sponsor the guys?
Yeah, my issue, as I keep saying, with paddle is I genuinely really enjoyed it. It was good. I've just got no one to play with because obviously you need four people, and I don't have that many friends. So I'm not lucky that Tosh's brother was available.
There's an app called Playtonic. Not to plug the app or anything, but you can go on that, and you can just be like a single person. I know if people need a player. You just like kind of fill yourself in.
Imagine how gutted they're going to be when I turn up.
Well, you rank yourself.
That's my main issue.
Yeah, you're ranked on it, so you join a game where like people are the same level as you. You're not turning up to like, and you know they're all three of them are unbelievable, and you turn up with being terrible. So like you rank yourself on it, so you turn up with like beginners or like I don't know the care in the community paddle or something.
Is it just like squash in a sense with the ball bounces off the glass or like...
It's like...
I just can't get me around.
If squash and tennis had a kid, that's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
An ADHD kid. That's what it'd be.
Yeah, who decides to make loads of rules.
It's like the most complicated game ever. Even like
there's a lot of rules.
Only played once, and there was the amount of times like I was looking at Tosh being like, what do I do now? Like every little variation of the ball being it, you've got there's a new rule for it.
Yeah, there's like certain things like it can do certain things off a serve, but then if it's open play, then that's fine and stuff like that. It can hit certain parts in open play, but can't from a serve, and serve's got to be hip height when you bounce the ball and all these mad things. But it is a great game. It's really good.
You've sold it to me. I mean,
more on the paddle podcast next week.
Last week we were talking about baseball, and this week it's paddle.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. At least it's a bit more over our shores this time. I've never played baseball, but yeah, next time you come home, well, book you in for the game of paddle.
So,
right, let's make a start then on the reason we're actually here. So the football. Now, I think it's been a bit of a theme now because last week I said the same, but looking at this week's Premier League, it's just a bit of a chaotic league at the minute, isn't it? Like, very eventful matches and some unexpected scores, some maybe a bit more expected. But yeah, I think if we start, probably won't take too long on it because it wasn't the best game, but just a little word on Liverpool and Arsenal. What are your thoughts, Max?
Yeah, it was an interesting game in a sense. From I felt like Arsenal went there to draw, and Liverpool, it took a moment of magic to win the game. I think if they play that game 10 times, I think Arsenal win one, Liverpool win one, the rest of the draw. We did mention last week, I thought it would be a draw. They sometimes fall flat and did. Once you saw the lineup from Arsenal, I didn't think they were going to take advantage of Liverpool because they should have. The past 2-3 weeks, Liverpool haven't looked great defensively, and teams have got at them, and Arsenal didn't really do that. And they had one shot on target in the end. I thought he should have started Eze, because I thought he was great against us in the Charity Shield. Madueke looked good, but the players we sort of mentioned last week who haven't been so good turned up. Kerkez had a good game. The little German, as Tosh referred to him, Florian Wirtz, had a great game. And then Kanate had a good game as well. I was sort of slating him last week, but he had a good game as well. And he took that unbelievable free kick from Szoboszlai to win it. But yeah, not much. It's just a little bit disappointing. And I find I watch games differently now. I don't really watch them as a fan. I watch them as a coach because this is my life every single day. I was just disappointed in Arsenal. I thought if they came and went at us, they could have won the game. And now we're top on 9 points and they're lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrible game. It was awful. Both teams were bad. Both teams, the ball just kind of in between the middle third, then they get to the final third and just there'd be a bad pass, a mistake, running out of play. Martinelli was terrible, I thought. I can't believe he came back out for the second half. Arsenal do it every year. They bottle themselves in these bigger games every year. They just... I think now in the Prem, you play to draw, you get beat. If you play to win, you might be lucky enough to get a draw. You've got to like do something like mad to kind of win, especially in those big games. There's generally no point in trying to play for a draw because chances are you'll just get beat. I thought it was just a bad game. I don't think Liverpool necessarily deserved to win. I don't think that Arsenal definitely didn't deserve to win either. I think a 0-0 draw was kind of like the perfect scoreline for that game. I know Liverpool had a bit of a flurry in the second half where they had 10 minutes where they had that goal disallowed for offside and but even still, I can't remember like Rayov make a save maybe. I don't know. I can't remember him like properly making it a save. I know Madueke had that one from the corner in the first half where Alisson saved it, but that it was a nothing save that. He probably could have caught that. I don't know. It's just Arsenal just... They do it every year, don't they? They've got no like bite in them. Just that game's just there for the taking, definitely. After the first 15 minutes, they could have done something. They got through a few times, but just didn't do anything with it. And I think even like as Neville was saying on the commentary and that, I was watching the game and I was thinking like both teams just playing it around the back to the keeper. and like there was going to be a mistake at some point. I know Raya did that one where he passed it to Van Dijk, was it? Both teams were more happy to kind of play a stupid little risky pass on the edge of the box, and like Arsenal had to kind of them playing like a through ball to Gyökeres at all, or like trying to play like a little like cute pass through that, like the
that was a donkey anyway line, though, but, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I honestly don't know. He looks good sometimes, don't he? But I'm not sure they're using him to his strengths. Maybe, I don't know. He looks like a powerful guy, don't he? When he was at Coventry, he was powerful. And he was like, you know, barging players out the way and that. And he just looked like, you know, you put him forward in front of goal and kind of let him challenge with a defender, and he'll probably beat them for strength. But I'm not sure he's clever enough or technically good enough, kind of in terms of touch, to hold players off, bring it down, lay it off, and things like that. But another thing about this free kick, it was a great free kick, but do you reckon he should have saved it? Genuinely, because he kind of gets over and gets his hand to it. If you see him when before he takes it, he takes like two steps right.
Yeah.
If he would have took another step, I think he's got his full hand to it. I think. No, it was obviously a botch free kick, and he struck it well. He done a similar one. It was against, I can't remember, Hungary. Yeah, it was a similar one, a similar distance where he just like struck it dead well. But you see like Raya's face after, where he's like giving it the old, oh, could have done nothing about that. But he nearly did. He took two steps, got his fingers to it. He just took another step. I just think it was I think when the free kicks are that far out, keeper should just stand in the middle. Yeah. I don't know why he's giving him such a big target to aim at. Just stand in the middle. You're so far out. Like if that's in open play, the keeper's like, shoot from it, I don't care. Kind of thing. It's just it seemed to set it up to tell Sobers, like, right, you just need to blast this in that side of the goal and it'll go in. And he did it, to be fair, and that's easier said than done. But it was a great strike and all that, I know, but I think you'd kind of be a bit disappointed in your keeper there.
I actually watched Match of the Day for the first time in maybe 10 years because I now have, so I get to see get all the English channels.
We've got him.
You're not meant to say that much.
We've got him.
just you can just bleep that bit out. But anyway, I was watching Match of the Day, and it was Joe Hart and Rooney. And by the way, Rooney is by far the worst pundit in the world. He just comes across he just comes across as a moron, and he can't talk, and sometimes he does say good things, especially like about strikers or whatever, but
a lot of the time he says good things, but he's very much, I think, like a lot of the time he says what a lot of people are thinking.
He's a fan's like, pundit.
Yeah, other ex-pros won't say. The problem is, it's just because he is a bit stupid.
Yeah,
he just comes across like an idiot, but I don't think he is an idiot.
maybe not.
You can't be that good of fuzzy as well and not know your stuff.
Yeah, he does, but at the end of the day, like, Tom Brady thought he was awful and sacked them from Birmingham because he's a moron, and he has to be. Anyway, he doesn't articulate things pretty well anyway. But Joe Hart was saying how, you know, he takes the steps across, doesn't he? And he like then he gets central and he can see the ball. But Rooney actually mentioned about how you don't need to have a wall from that distance, and it's just it makes total sense. There's no point in having a wall and giving them the opportunity to have the ball be blind to the shot, which is the worst thing for him. But he could have saved it, but at the end of the day, he didn't.
And also, I think a wall in that like that is like a guide
for the free kick. Yeah,
exactly. He's used as like a guide of like where to put the ball. Like, you know, when you see like you bend it around the wall and things like that, or you bend it around the player, he's used that wall as like a guide there of where to put that. I don't know. Yeah, it was stupid foul to give away as well. By the way, I thought he looked well out of his depth. That Arsenal centre mid, can't remember his name.
Zubimendi.
I thought he looked out of his depth. I thought. Safe foul to give away. I honestly am not being bitter, but I can't believe Liverpool at 9.59 with how bad they've played over the three games. It's insane. Yeah.
You can't believe it.
Well, okay, I can't believe it.
I absolutely can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, so you've been like being really bad, but I suppose that's the game, innit? I was speaking to someone yesterday about it in the gym, and it was a bit like, City for those few years under Guardiola already were unbelievable. Like, even like United under Ferguson, you just knew the goal was just going to come. You just knew it was going to come, no matter how bad they played, how many chances they'd missed, if they'd done nothing all game. Like City, you just knew that like Aguero was just going to score a tap in, and like the 92nd minute, you just knew it was going to happen if the game hadn't gone their way. And yeah, maybe that's what Liverpool have been a bit like so far this season, that you just kind of
absolutely
get the feeling that it's going to just go their way. But I think I generally do think it's probably the league is probably between Liverpool and us. I think with just winning that game on, I think on Tyrone Isaac yesterday, I think it does put it back into your thing a bit. But
it's back to being a two horse race, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I think had you got Guehi yesterday, I think I might have said probably got a very good chance there, but I don't know. It'd be probably between us two, I think. So,
How mad is it going into this international break in fifth? Just like 6 points out of nine. Like the Blues just loving playing footy again. It's like Grealish, Dewsbury All and Jai have played together for years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dead exciting. It's really good. Plus to watch. And I think we definitely didn't need the break in terms of to that momentum, but maybe it's just good in the fact that, like, obviously there's a few of them who won't have not been called up. It just kind of keeps them going a bit in the training ground, that keeps Moyes with them, and maybe a chance to bed a few of those players in and just kind of get settled. Even like in terms of we've signed quite a few players, just in terms of getting used to I don't know, like the city and being around and just settling in even more, and also no injuries, we would hope, but I just hope that we just continue to play like, as I said before, with going to play for the draw, you probably get beat. The derby's in 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. Just don't change the way we play. Just play how we are. If we get beat, but probably going to get beat anyway. I'd rather we just went for it and look like we enjoyed it.
I'm not sure you will get beat. That's you're saying. Like, derbies are always they've been pretty poor for a long time. They had the odd moment like last season, Tarkowski scoring at the death. But genuinely, they look fun to watch, Everton. Which I don't think anyone's probably said in a long time. I know last week we were saying that it's going to be a 0-0 or a 1-1, it's going to be miserable. But it's genuinely exciting. Like, Jack Grealish is fantastic. I said when he signed in, Dewsbury Hall is a fantastic signing. He is a good player. And what a belter of a goal. Such a good goal.
Very cool. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Just don't change it. I'd rather we just kind of die trying
Do you think he will, though?
He always
takes his history with us is just that, isn't it? It's just another bottle job.
Yeah, takes a night to a gunfight, is that the saying?
Yeah.
that's what he always was, really. But I just think, like, what's the point? Because the players that we've got aren't suited to going to sit back and try and defend. You might as well just let them kind of do what they're good at. And that's the only way you're going to get the best out of them, and it's worked so far. And listen, there'll be games where we try it, and we just get overawed and we get happy. But I'd rather a season like that and just enjoy it. And that's what it's enjoyable in it. And the players are obviously enjoying it. And that's what keeps them playing well and keeps the momentum going and enthusiasm, that you can tell that they're actually enjoying it. Like what you're saying there, like Ndai, Dewsbury Hall and Grealish, and that look like they play together for ages. It's because they are just genuinely just enjoying playing footy in that way. So it does work. I think there's a lot to be done there, I think, isn't he? And I don't think the forwards are very good, but we'll see. It definitely is exciting.
Beto scored, didn't he? Beto scored?
Yeah.
Dad doesn't miss that one, won't he? But I'm sure he gave him a good goal.
Yeah, he gave him a good goal, I'm sure.
Right, if we move on then, rather than sticking to just those Merseyside teams, is there any game that was noticeable for you for any reason? I think maybe there's a couple for me, but I'd maybe go for the West Ham Forest game, which...
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like, West Ham just seemed dead in the water, didn't they? I mean, I know it was only two games, but it was almost like everyone written them off. Then they go to Sound Forest 3-0. It's just like... Yeah, again, I think it just shows how unpredictable the season's going to be, and every prediction we've made of who's going to be the bottom three or whatever... I genuinely don't know when we're going to have a good gauge on that, because teams are picking up points against all sorts of different teams. So Yeah, I think I'll probably go with that West Ham one. It's just a bit of a shock for me. Is there a particular one for you too?
I was the same. Like they were looking like they were about to spiral out of control.
Yeah.
Midweek, Jared Bowen getting into it with the fans. Like Lucas Paquetá was about to leave, and they just rocked up and just played them off the park. I mean, I suppose it's good time, and they came up against Nottingham Forest, who's manager and is probably not having a good go because of the owner and stuff, and you don't know what's going to happen with him this week. But good performance. Jared Bowen's turned into like Mark Noble for West Ham, and he's going to be one of those players who just stays with them, and he's their guy. He had that, I don't know if you saw it, but the one that Callum Wilson robbed off him was going to be a goal of the season contender already. Yeah. You'd be fuming if that happened.
There's an argument to say Callum Wilson's in a better position there.
Probably, but also you just watched him with six players.
Yeah, after that run, you're not giving it up, are you?
No. It's like Michael Owen in the 98 against Argentina. Scholes is right there. But
yeah,
Michael Owen takes the shot.
What about you, Carl? Anything?
No, I was going to say that obviously the West Ham was obviously just a big win for them. And I think you're right in the fact that this season, well, I think the Premier League anyway is just a bit like teams can seem to beat anyone on their day. Yeah. And no one's down and out for too long. Everyone's like going on about United and thinking how bad United are, but I think they're the head of City, aren't they? I think so. So it's mad, isn't it? Just wins and things happen, and it's very topsy turvy. But I think obviously Palace looked very impressive as well. On that evening game, which I think is a great slot for football. That Sunday evening. Palace look good. Villa don't look good, but I'm sure they'll turn around. They've got the squad to turn around. I think we've signed a few players, but also on the Palace note, not to go back to Liverpool too much, but I think it's great that they were brave enough to say no to Gueye, or however that kind of worked, to just keep him. I think I was speaking to people over the weekend when it looked like he was going, and Palace fans and that, and obviously they love Gueye, and obviously he'd lost Eze and losing the best players. I think there's a bit of a thing between Glasner and the owners, a bit like, if he goes, I'm going. I just think, like, I know people say, oh yeah, but you just let him go on a free next year, but so be it. Wow. I just think, like, just keep him. And they didn't buy him. There's no way they bought him. It's like, we're going to buy him, sell him on. Keep it finished, higher up. He's won you a FA Cup, Community Shield, got you into Europe. For a £20 million buy, whatever it was, just take it and just keep him this year. Finish higher up the table, potentially, with him. I think the better with him than without him, for sure. There's no replacement there. So I think it's right. More teams should just do it. I think sometimes it's all like so like money focused. It's just like just keep him.
Is there a chance they sell him in January?
Definitely.
Well, I think, again, my thing would be only sell him if you've got a suitable replacement. But obviously by January, that price is halved.
Yeah.
At least, and if they might get 10 million for him from January, it might just be a case of kind of whatever's left on the contract, they almost pay out. But again, if you've kept them that long, what's 5 million to, or whatever, it'll be 10 million.
The important piece for them is if they're still in the Conference League. If they make it through the group stage of the Conference League and you're still there, you're gonna keep them. You might as well. You're gonna get 10, you're gonna get 10, 12 million for them in January. They'll keep him. Obviously, I'm disappointed from Liverpool's perspective because I think he's a very good player. You know, if you're a player at Crystal Palace, though, and the manager threatens to leave over one player, how would you feel about that? Because I think I would be like, well, what's wrong with the rest of us that you're so willing to give us up for one player?
I think they also understand that he's the captain, though, isn't he? He's like, it's probably not the player, it's the principal.
That's what I think.
But you say the principal, right? So Isak and Risa have shown that you can just down tools and not train with your teammates and get your move. He's been the model professional, won them the FA Cup and the Community Shield, and he doesn't get his move. And he's also, no, the offer's gone in. What?
No one's come in for him until the last day. No one's put a bid in at all over the summer, have they?
There's been talk since early in the summer that Liverpool were going to get him, though. But I think Liverpool have been quite respectful of the fact that we were playing them in the Community Shield and left it till after that. And then it's taken the 2 weeks to get it done. The offer sheet went in, and he'd made his video. Crystal Palace. Yeah, there's still images out online and a statement from him. saying like thanking the supporters and all that. So like he'd done his medical in London. It was all done. And then Glasner's apparently said, I'm leaving if he goes. And they pulled him.
I think Glasner's right. I think it's more, yeah. I think Sean's right. It's the principal rather than the player. And I think the team know that. And the team would rather him stay, obviously. There's no way those players want them to go. I think it's more the fact that how can the owners let your two best players go? But then there doesn't seem to be any kind of adequate replacements. I think if this happened 2 weeks ago and the owner said, yeah, we're getting 30 million for him, there's 30 million, got yourself another centre back. I mean, Glasner's probably been okay, fair enough. But to do it at like 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, wherever it was, not the deadline day, and to set that, to me, that would have been like that's the owner's making a purely financial decision, like, we want some money here. That's not like a footballing decision. And I suppose Glasner would have just thought, like, they're not running a football team here.
But even so, I think the players may feel similarly, mightn't they? Because it's like, sell our best player, sell our leader. It's just like, where's the ambition? And I know like fans are always the ones calling for that, but the players also want that. They want to know they play for a team that wants to win things and wants to do better. And if you're just going, every time we get to this level, which is probably the best level I've ever been at, where they've won two trophies, and then we just go, we've sold Eze. And again, I don't think anyone's arguing with that. But then sell your other best player. Like, if you think in the last 2-3 years, they've just been wiped out, haven't they, of like all the best players, and somehow they're still like working their way back up again. And there's got to get to a point when you go, we've hit that success a little bit, we've won two trophies, the FA Cup being a big one, we need to build on it rather than just going, go ahead, let's just go back to the beginning and start again. And we might get the FA Cup again. It's like, we want to push on, those fans will want to push on. But
what happens next year? Well,
with fans like Palace, I think they almost feel like they can't be ambitious because everyone will go, shut up, get back in your box, you're tiny, you don't win things. I don't think they want to be ambitious. Every Palace fan I've seen on like social media has always been so respectful, and like they don't want to talk themselves up because they don't feel like they can. And I think that's sad when they're more than capable of going on and winning the Conference League. As an example, like they could feasibly win it and they could win trophies this year, but if they sell the best players, it's not going to happen, is it?
But let's be realistic, though. Next summer, you lose Gaethje anyway. Adam Wharton's going to get bought by someone. And then Glasner's gone. So what happens now? So you've just angered your captain. He's probably might kick up a fuss, he might not. He was trying to get his dream move to Liverpool. You've got a manager who's threatening to leave if that one player goes. What's
Have you not got a year to make a succession plan, though? You've got a year to do some scouting to kind of get a bit of a plan. If you sell Gaethje and then Glasner leaves, you've got nothing.
Yeah.
You got to see a big season at the end, you've got nothing. At least now you've got a year to go. Gaethje's going, we know that obviously. Glasner potentially go. Obviously, as you say, Wharton is probably gonna go to definitely go to a bigger club. He can make plans for it and put things in place. Yeah, but
I just think it was brave by Glasner. And I think Glasner, I'm surely all the fans are like thanking Glasner for like standing up to him. You don't see many managers or any like stand up to it's like owners like that. And I think some things aren't like just like financial decisions either. It's, you know, it's about like building a team, doing it in the right way. And I think I'm sure Glasner knows his team the best, much better than the owners. I'm sure he knows the effect that would have on them. And I think, good on him for making a stand. And I think more things like that need to happen in terms of just like football and decisions rather than just seeing the money. And like, honestly, who cares about, I mean, it's like the best way, but like 10, 15 million to like a Premier League club. Like, honestly, like what? It's nothing. It's not. I mean, there's rumours that Palace wanted an extra 5 million off Liverpool and they like wouldn't do it at first. That's why it hit a bit of a stumbling block. What's 5 million? It's mine. Obviously, I know you can say, that just keeps going. But I just think that my opinion was, why would you even let him go? It's like, what would have been the point? For the sake of the owners could say, if you've made another 25 million or whatever, I don't know.
How much money were you over by when you got hit with the PSR?
when the Premier League tried to send us down, it was nothing.
Yeah. It was like 12 million or something, was it? There's the 15 million for Guaihi. You say it's just 15 million, but it's the difference between getting hit with PSR or not, maybe.
How
much do you get for being higher as well? Like a couple of places high in the league. How much money do you get there?
Good point.
And Europe, staying in the European competition for longer than that. I just think like there's no way that they're thinking of, if it would have been PSR, they would have sold them. I think you just wanted the money. That's not going into the PSR thing, and Everton being done by PSR, because we might turn this onto a rant. I was thinking about that the other day. That was I don't know for what reason or why, but generally that was like the Premier League just wanted to get rid of us for some mad reason. Yeah. There's actually no other explanation for it. I think they generally just something happened behind the scenes and they were like, we need to get rid of Everton here. I don't know what it was. I don't know what we didn't play ball with. But
you were the example. What you think about it? I think they're trying.
We always are.
I know. It's just that. I think it was more that you just got caught, like in the crossfire, because they're trying to go after City. They need to set some precedent to go after them. So like, who's close enough to be potentially messing up? Yeah, let's go after Everton because it was easy.
Generally, it was strange. I don't know. But yeah, let's not get into that because
anyway, rabbit hole.
Yeah, right. Let's move on. Okay, so we are going to leave the
Fantasy Chat. Do you remember Kalina against Villarreal?
Yeah, let's leave the football chat there. And we are going to pass the reins on to Max, who's going to take us into our next section.
Yeah, so last week I was listening to the Rest of Football, rival podcast of ours, and I know Sean has a soft spot for Gary Lineker, right, Sean? And they were playing a little game that was based on appearances. So I thought maybe we'd do a little version of Keeping Up Appearances and sort of copy the route. So it's a top 10 game. Now, before we start, I'm going to ask you two, do you want Category A or Category B? And then I'll explain afterwards. So I can't choose between them, so I'm going to let you choose.
Go on, guess privilege. Go on, Carl.
We'll go B.
B, okay. So you're working together. So this game, I need you to tell me the top 10 players to have played in the Premier League by appearances who are Dutch. And you're going to get three lives, and you are working together. So top 10 Premier League appearances by Dutch players. How would you like to start? Here.
I feel like there's going to be some little random grumpy fella who I don't know.
Potentially. They did France last week and it was easy. It was like so straightforward. Yeah, there could be a few red herrings in here, I think.
Go on, I'm just going to throw Van Persie out just to get us on the board.
Robin Van Persie is seventh on the list. He's made 280 appearances in the Premier League.
He was seventh, wow. I hate doing the obvious ones in these games because it's always wrong.
He's got to be in the top before you submit it.
Who are you thinking?
Bergkamp.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Got to be, honey.
Dennis Bergkamp is second on the list, 315 appearances.
Right, okay.
So,
any keepers, Dutch keepers?
Van der Sar.
Yeah.
He's got to be,
surely.
Number three. 313 appearances.
Who's going to be number one here?
It won't be Van der Meijden, I don't think. or Drenthe.
David Klaassen, maybe. The likes of like Van Dijk, I don't know. I'm not guessing him yet. How many Japanese played?
He did get killed by Pickford, though, didn't he?
He did,
how long was he dead for? I'm thinking back to reckon Overmars goes in the top 10.
I don't know if he's there that long, you know. I think he's at Arsenal that long. But then it's the same with like Van Nistelrooy. He wasn't there that long, only a couple of years. And Van Persie was seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at Arsenal United for 10 plus years.
Do we have to fill a 10 here, Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, look for the top 10 players. So you've got 2, 3, and 7. 2, 3, and 7. I've put it in the chat so you remember. Bergkamp 2, Van der Sar 3, Van Persie 7.
Right, let's just think of those like famous Dutch teams who was playing. Jechen Japstam, Jechen, he's had enough.
Go for it, come on.
I'm not confident because I feel like I don't know how late into the 90s he came, and he left in like 2000, didn't he? 2001, something like that.
But it's one of them, he kind of would have played every game, wouldn't he?
Go on, let's go Japstam.
Incorrect. He's not even in the top 25.
Wow.
I'm genuinely having a clue here.
So you got Van Persie, who's seventh, and he made 280 appearances. So that's seventh.
Oh, Dirk Kuyt.
Are you going for him?
Is he Dutch? Fine. He's Dutch,
yeah. He's Dutch. Yeah, Sean Heavey. He's out there for a while.
There? You think so?
Yeah.
Incorrect. What? He's 13th on the list. 208.
Ah, this is mental.
I think you need to discuss more. just going for it.
Right, he's got one life. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's going to be like last week where you've got technically two more.
I'm thinking like that, say like the team that got to the World Cup final. What was that, 2010? Like Nigel de Jong, not going to be him, is it?
I don't think so.
Who else? Who's that? Was Van Persie's team? Wasn't it? That was Kuyt. That was Schneider.
Schneiderlin. I know he's Belgian. Is he Belgian?
Yeah.
He definitely.
Van Bronckhorst. He won't be in there that long. I honestly think this. Is so hard.
Who's the?
You chose category D.
Does it? I can't say he was English. I can't think of his name. Centre back for Chelsea, 90s. I feel like I could picture him. Long hair, long braided hair.
Long braided hair?
Yeah, like kind of like braided. Not, you know what I mean? Centre back? I think he was centre back.
No.
No.
Nathan Ake could be one.
Could be.
You can put him on the reserve list. He could be on there.
On reserve list.
Who are you talking about? Mario Melchiot.
That's the guy.
Shut up. There's no way he's in there. You reckon he's in
Chelsea for? I feel he was at Chelsea for a long. I just when you said Dutch plays, I just had the vision of him in my head.
Because he was at Birmingham as well, wasn't he?
But I feel like he was at Chelsea for a long time.
I'm not prepared to commit to Mario Melchiot, I'll be honest. Who else did you say? Let me write some down.
Shay Mira, Pingyo, Jimmy.
Hasselbank. It's a great shout. Hasselbank. Wait, this is our last life. We need to really think.
Go for it.
He's in the 100 club, isn't he? So yeah. if he scored 100, he's going to have at least over 200 appearances. Right.
Get any more points from being on Strictly?
Jimmy Foley Hasselbank is fifth.
Yes, hold on, Callum.
288 appearances. So you've got one life, but two answers, technically. We're doing it like last week.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We can lose this and then got one more.
You can lose this and then you got
gamble on Melchiot, Sean.
Okay. Are you sure?
Well, I'm not. I didn't even know his name.
Right. Callum Shaw.
Go for it.
Right. Fair play is Mario Melchiot.
Mario Melchiot is sixth.
Oh, my yes. God.
284.
That was real teamwork. I knew I could see him, but I didn't know his name. You got him,
that's
Sean.
Unbelievable.
Right,
so we've got like Nathan Ake as an option. We have got Virgil van Dijk as an option. Surely van Dijk will be in there.
Van Dijk, Southampton, Joel, like, Wayne.
You are?
So how long is he at Southampton as well?
Ah, yeah. I reckon he's in there.
Go for him. Do it.
Go on then.
Van Dijk is fourth.
Yes.
304 appearances.
We still haven't got the number one.
No. So you've got one.
The number
two,
one is going
three,
to be
four, five,
keep
six,
up appearances
seven.
Player. 1,000,000%.
Sorry, you've got two, it'll three, be like four, five, proper, six, like,
no, not a nobody, but it will be.
Yeah, yeah. Be just like nobody who played the years. Like a lower league, yeah. Like a lower down team.
Yeah. Van der Sar won't be in it. Did you say him before?
I can't imagine he would. How many seasons was he there? Maybe four. When did he join? He joined 2000, didn't he?
I think ideally you need someone who's been at more than one Premier League club, don't you? I know that sounds stupid, but you need to bounce around a couple, don't you, to be in the top 10.
Yeah. I feel like obviously missing some obvious ones here, though.
So just to recap, you're missing number 1, 8, 9 and 10. So you've got Bergkamp, Van der Sar, Van Dijk, Hasselbank, Melchior, Van Persie. Van Persie's 280, Bergkamp's 315. That's the range.
Do we reckon Ian Robbins in there? I'm not sure either, because he sometimes didn't play, did he?
Yeah, nah.
Those two seasons of this show has been building up to this moment. You better get all 10.
There's literally no chance.
Me all day. What game did you say before, Sean? The World Cup final? What World Cup did you say before?
The
Euros or the World Cup?
2010, wasn't it? When he the Nigel de Jong tackle on Alonso. Wasn't that 2010? What?
Would he not be on?
Nigel de Jong. Was he there that? Young.
That's what we're here for. That's the game we've done. I don't know. Who did he play for? City,
won it.
Anyone else?
Nah. Not in the Premier League.
Oh,
do you know what? Do you reckon we throw like an Overmars in?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, he doesn't like it.
I think I don't like it, but I'm running out of ideas.
Are there any like Dutch players now?
They don't really translate very well, in my opinion. Players from the Dutch league just don't tend to, like, I don't know. There's a reason that there are not that many that we think of.
Right. Do you know what? Shall I
go
Nathan Ake? Just because I think we need to.
He ticks the two club box, doesn't he?
He does.
But I think Nathan he'll be Ake. Low, but go on.
Nathan Ake locked in.
Go on.
He's eighth.
Yes.
236 appearances. Obviously.
Can you tell us which ones we need?
Like numbers?
Which players?
No, can you tell us the names?
just the here's your, number 1, number 9, number 10. Do you want me to give you the number?
Three to go, yeah?
Yeah, you're doing
three
well.
Three to go, two, we got two chances here, Cal, because we got two large, effectively. I haven't really got many other names written down here either.
I feel the fact that he was the one you named from that Holland team.
Who? De Jong?
Yeah.
I don't think so, only because I can't. But you know what? He was in that. Yeah, okay, go on. Nigel de Jong.
Incorrect. And he's not in the top 25. He made 104 appearances for Manchester City. So he's way off.
Can you tell us what the number is?
Yeah, considering you've got no lives left, number 10 made 222 appearances in the Premier League. Number 9 made 225. Number 1 made 384 appearances.
That's a lot from. I can't think of any of the goalies. That's not.
Once you, if you lose this one, I'll start giving you clues so you can try and work them out. But
he must be like a centre half or something. I'm even trying to think of like that 90s Dutch team with like Clive Aert and. I might have to bow out here.
You said Clive before, didn't you?
Yeah, I still can't believe he wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a mad one, man.
Definitely, yeah.
Would you like some clues? Or do you want me to hold off? Would you like some clues, or do you want me to hold off?
Yeah, go on. Because effectively, we've lost our proper lives. Go on.
Okay. So, number 10 is a goalkeeper. Relatively recent. Let me just check, actually.
I genuinely can't even think of any Dutch goalies. Who's in goal for that cup final?
The 2010 one. Will it not have been... Yeah. What's the Everton one called? Will he play for Everton? No. What's his name, the Dutch fella? Stekelenburg? Can I ask, did this fella play for...
Who was the one who thingoed? He was the one who got subbed.
Fingioed, yeah.
Oh,
who's the one who got subbed?
Do you mean the one who came on? Tim Krul. Yeah. Tim Krul came on. I don't know who came on. He was at Newcastle, wasn't he? He was at Norwich.
Takes the 2 club rule.
I know, but how many times did he play for Newcastle?
I don't know. Why are you thinking? I just need to get my charger.
Go on. Oh, so it's all on me.
if you lose this, it's your fault.
Can I ask, 2 clubs did the keeper play for? Did he play for Brentford?
No.
Did he play for Brighton?
He was on loan there, but he never made an appearance.
Oh.
Callum comes back now with all three answers.
Oh, I know. Classic keeper of appearance.
I knew the charger.
Yeah. I remember that keeper.
I tell you, I've got a good idea. I think it might pick.
Go on, right, let's go Tim Krul.
Correct. 10th.
Oh, hello.
Get in.
He made 222 appearances, and yeah, Newcastle, he made 160, and then Norwich City. He made 163, but not all that was in the Prem.
Okay, so we've got 10. Have you got a clue for 9 for us?
Yeah.
Number 9. So what I would say for both these players, 1 and 9, you may be thinking too good when you think national team. Number 9, I think he might have made a few appearances, but I think it's going to give it away. Stoke. There's a clue.
Yeah, is it John Walters? That's all I can think of. Who's a Dutchman who played
John,
for...
John Walters, isn't he the scouts who played for Ireland?
Yeah, I shouldn't be joking. was it like that Affalay? Was he Dutch?
Oh, can't be him.
No. A Stoke Dutch striker?
I didn't say striker.
Oh, that does not help. Not that Eric Peters, is he? Because that Peters wasn't spelled the normal way, was it? Had like a little rogue eye in there. Could he be Dutch?
Gamble, Sean.
We've got no lives anyway.
Might as well.
Not Eric Peters, is it?
It is. Number 9.
Oh, shit.
225 appearances, Eric Peters. Number 1. For Stoke. Stoke for six, seven years. And he also at West Brom and Burnley for a little bit as well.
Can you tell us who number 1 played for?
Oh, just give us a clue. Go on.
So he wasn't born in the Netherlands. He was born in Ghana. That's my first clue. If you need another one, I'll start to make it a bit easier for you.
But he played for Netherlands.
He played 4 times for the Netherlands.
Can I ask what era of Premier League is this?
2000, early 2000s.
Such a keeping up with answer.
Yeah, definitely. I would say
Bob would have got this player's appearances.
Yeah,
97 he joined the Premier League. 2010 was probably the last time in the Prem.
Wow. How do I not know this fella? Where does he play?
midfield, I want to say. Right there. Defensive midfielder.
Oh. It's, what's his name? Play for Coventry, play for Borough. What on earth's his name? George Boateng.
Correct.
What a shout.
What a shout. George Boateng, what did I say he made? George Boateng, 384 appearances. He was at Coventry first, 97 to 99. He went to Aston Villa, Middlesbrough, Hull City. That was a pretty good shout, Sean.
Yeah, that was a good game. I think, even though obviously we lost all the lives, I think we did quite well there. That was a good game.
Did you lose all the lives? You still went out.
Yeah,
because you lost your three lives. Yeah,
we all had fun. That's what really matters.
That was definitely the harder.
In football, don't think so.
Nah,
keeping up the appearance is a real winner.
Yeah, Alan Shearer's constantly miserable.
Exactly.
That was definitely the harder of the two categories as well, because like you have four players that you might not think big players, but they played a long time in the Prem.
Yeah.
Smaller clubs. Congratulations, thanks, winners.
Right, now we'll wrap our episode up with just a brief chat. We're not going to spend too long on it. We're going to talk about something that kind of came to a close yesterday, which was the transfer window. And I would just like, have a little chat, just see maybe who you think, as in which club maybe you think had the best window. Obviously, been lots of comings and goings, particularly on Merseyside. But across the Premier League, who do you think has had the best window?
Genuinely, I think in terms of what they might do for the team and the improvements of the team, I think it's hard to look past Everton. Genuinely, just in terms of like what the signings will do and then possibly where we will finish this year on last year, I think we're probably very much up there for what we've done. Obviously, other teams made big signings. Liverpool have obviously made massive signings, but anything other than winning the league for Liverpool is, you know, not enough kind of thing this year, is it? So I think in terms of what the impact of the signings might have, I think no one's probably done better business than Everton. I think Grealish might end up being like the signing, like pound for pound signing of the season, quite possibly. And that's kind of not even like in a biased way. I just think in terms of like the difference it could have. And also like the business we've done. I'd throw Everton up there, to be fair.
Yeah. What about you, Max?
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, like I had like a Grealish sign of the season in my predictions, so I can't argue with that really. Liverpool's ones, the reason why it's so good is more because we've never done this before. Spend this much money and get the quality of player we got in. We have also sold £260 million worth of player as well. And we missed out.
And you've still got the Coutinho money.
Still there. Still got a bit more to spend, saving it on Gaihi. Liverpool's one's brilliant. I think Arsenal's one's pretty good. Although I have Gyökeres as my flop, so fingers crossed that happens. But it's almost as if like Everton have got like, especially Dewsbury Hall and Grealish, they're two impactful players that will change how you play going forward and will change a lot about what you do. So I do agree with that. I can't see past Everton. I'm trying to think of others. City have obviously signed some good players, but started off poorly. He just signed Donnarumma as well, didn't he? So he's a big name player.
I'll be honest, I think Newcastle have got a couple of decent players. I know they've obviously lost Isak, but I think to get Visser in and they got Jacob Ramsey as well, didn't they, from Villa. Yeah. I think they've been a bit like sneaky with their business. Tottenham as well. I don't know whether they seem to have gone old school in like the name over. I, like, don't get me wrong, I can't talk about like Xavi Simons or Kolo Muani, but they've gone for like the big names, haven't they? And that hasn't always worked for Tottenham. So I think time will tell really where they come out of the window based on those players.
Cole Amani came from nowhere, didn't he?
Yeah.
Looks like he came from nowhere.
Yeah.
He played in the World Cup final for France. Like, he's clearly a good player.
Yeah. Didn't he the one that missed it? Didn't he miss the...
The last minute one, yeah. Emi Martinez. Speaking of Emi Martinez, see him waving to the crowd, crying on his way out to take him back up the next day.
I've seen someone on Twitter before said it's like when you ring up Sky to say you want to cancel your like subscription, and you end up getting like a 24-month contract, broadband, all this like new stuff with them, and you put the phone down.
Yeah. Brilliant. I think in terms of like that was United he was linked to, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think like that was a good move on their behalf, because don't get me wrong, this fella they've bought, I've never heard of him, but that club's in chaos anyway. Imagine throwing Emi Martinez in there just to like wind everyone else up. Like, yeah, it just imagine it. So yeah, I mean, it would have been fun to watch, but for their sake, I think it's definitely a good move. Is there any adding on to the Colin Warney? Any moves that shocked you yesterday? Like that they come out of nowhere. Like, I've always loved those last minute desperation moves on deadline day. They need to shock you.
I thought Villa, I know we've been sort of like shopping Harvey Elliott, but I didn't expect him to go there. I actually think that's a good move for him, because I think he's a very good player. He just wouldn't get any minutes for us, and he needs to play. But then they also signed Victor Lindelof on a free, like, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit of a shock.
Did they buy another forward?
Jadon Sancho.
That's a terrible signing.
Yeah.
I think
it's like on the Marcus Rashford mold, isn't it?
A bit worse, though. It's like they've replaced, they've literally replaced Rashford with Sancho.
Yeah.
I think the obviously with it being a World Cup year has made it a more interesting transfer window. Yeah. I think players have been willing to go, like Harvey Elliott. I think if it's not a World Cup year, he probably doesn't mean on loan to Villa.
Yeah.
Probably just happy to kind of buy this time. He's only 22. Probably happy to buy this time after Liverpool and just play when he can. But same with Grealish. Grealish probably does come to Everton if it's not a World Cup year.
Yeah.
So I think that's made it a bit more interesting. I do actually think yesterday did feel like an old school deadline day. I think even with like the Guehi deal, like on and off, it just did fit. It had that bit of a feel that was like kind of when it used to be kind of quite exciting. Yeah. But
I think as well on that count is like the fact that if it fell through as well was like, because you're so used now, aren't you? As you say, like they put the whatever you call the Max, the what you call it, they put
the offer sheet.
Yeah, put the offer sheet in. Then they've got about 24 hours to get the deal done or something. It's like you're just so used now to these deals happening. The fact it fell through was like, not for any reason, it just felt nice that like did like, yeah, we had a proper window where like stuff doesn't always go to plan and that. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
like it could be a sliding doors moment, can't it? Like Liverpool almost signed Nabil Fekir. Do you remember that? Like they had the video of him in the kit getting interviewed, and then it fell through because it was medical, and then we ended up using the money to buy Van Dijk. So, like, it's just a big moment when deals fall through.
Imagine, there's probably loads of them ones of Everton, aren't there?
Just realising, what am I doing here?
that video, Shane Long's going to come out one day. We're all going to be so gutted.
I will be gutted.
Right, lads, I think we'll leave it there for another week. So, I hope you've enjoyed listening to that at home. We certainly enjoyed having a little stroll down the transfer market, and in particular those pesky Dutchmen. They were it was so unmemorable that we forgot half of them. I just want to say a big thanks to Callum for coming back on. Hopefully, as I've said in the past with Toys, the plan is to get as many of our mates on, especially Cal, Tosh, not sure about Bob, on as much as we can, because obviously we love having them on. That is the plan. But I hope Callum is willing to come back if he's enjoyed himself.
For sure. Definitely now I'd love to be back. That was fun. I enjoyed the chat. It was good. Any chance to be a bit bitter, I'm fine with it.
You're
I was telling down a bit there, to be fair. But save until next time. But nah, thanks for having me. It was good. Good fun. And yeah, good luck with the season.
And as always, Max, thank you for being me co-host and the man behind all the technicals.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. Callum, thanks for coming on. And Sean, I'll see you next week, mate.
Yeah. Good to see you, Max. Sorry, before we go, actually, next week might be a slightly different episode. Obviously, it's international break, so we can't be... Well, we could review the internationals, but, like, who cares? So we're going to do a slightly different episode, so please tune in. It should be fun. See you then.